This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa.
Here's Matt, guns it, caught, Hurst, touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught, touchdown Calvin Ridley. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, Hey, man. We will waste no time as we have Coach on the line waiting, and we are going to talk to our head football coach, Arthur Smith. It is the Falcons in Jacksonville, guys, on Sunday. And Coach Smith, first of all, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. We hope you guys have a great holiday. Let's talk about where our team is right now. How has this week been for you guys after the disappointing of a night on Thursday Night Football? Coming back off of that, Coach, and where are we currently right now as we get ready for Jacksonville?
Well, first, thanks for having me on, and I hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving as well. So, and I always appreciate you guys having me. As for our team, we got to have perspective. We were playing decent football, and obviously the last two games, we kind of hit a little bit of a sinkhole here. But you got to have perspective. We have a hell of an opportunity coming back. We've had a good week so far, and I expect us to play pretty well to go down an opportunity to play a really meaningful game for us down in Jacksonville. So we're not out of it. I know, it can feel kind of crappy when you go through a stretch, but you have to have perspective, and we have an opportunity on Sunday, and we're thankful for that.
I know it's tough, Coach. We've talked so much about balanced attack, and when you got hired, we said, man, Arthur Smith is going to bring a balanced attack to this team, but Arthur Smith cannot block, and he cannot do the work that needs to be done. I know what I've asked. I'll ask again. Are you going to try every option available to get traction? I know we did seem to see some good things with Quadri Allison in the last game.
Yes, and he ran the ball hard. And when you're playing a team like New England, when you know what kind of game it's going to be, they're going to make it a grind. They weren't going to hand you anything. It's a big physical team, and we knew we were not going to earn it. And the most frustrating part, and this is why I said, hey, we need to play smarter, is we've done a pretty decent job most of the year on penalties. Didn't in the opener. Obviously, everybody saw what happened. And then, really, the Thursday night, that was what was disappointing, too, is some of the self-inflicted wounds right there playing, in my opinion, a championship-caliber defense. And, we had opportunities as bad as it felt. We had opportunities even late, and we didn't convert situational football. But you're disappointed, but I'm not discouraged. We'll do anything. We'll get this thing going. Like even in New Orleans, you're talking about balanced. You didn't want the run production, but we kept them off balance by at least shots on goal. And when we got too one-dimensional Thursday night, you could see how it can get ugly.
It is Arthur Smith, guys, head football coach of our Atlanta Falcons, talking about the next one, which is Jacksonville. And Coach, health-wise, where are we? I mean, from a healthy standpoint, I know at this point in the season everybody's banged up, but we've had some guys Calvin, maybe an update as far as CP. Is there anything that you can tell us or Falcon fans right now?
Sure. There's no update on Calvin. But in terms of, Patterson, practice today, which is always encouraging. And, Jalen Hawkins back out there practicing. So, we hope to get some guys back this weekend. And, like I said, we're thankful for this opportunity because it's crazy, as it feels right now and it sounded, we're right in the mix, and this is a huge game for us on Sunday.
Yeah, I know we've joked around about Cordarrelle Patterson. We said, what is Cordarrelle Patterson going to be? And this guy, he just seems to be the most physical and violent runner we've got and the biggest X factor on the field. And it's obviously a byproduct of injuries and some of the other things and Calvin being out, but it just seems like when Patterson's out there, he stirs the drink.
Yeah, he's a guy that people gravitate towards. He's been super productive for us and certainly can open things up for other guys, and you got to account for him. And so, he's become a big part and a vital part of our offense this season, and So we hope to get him back out there. But still, you know, having said that, everybody at the team's dealing with injuries. There's no excuse not to play better than we did. And we will play better this Sunday, whether, you know, CP's up or not.
Coach, what do you see with Jacksonville? And being an offensive guy, you know, Trevor Lawrence is from here. Went to Cartersville High School. We watched him at Clemson very closely. And I said on the show earlier this week, I think he's kind of been up and down, but it's his rookie year. I'm curious to know what you think about what you're seeing with Jacksonville, whether it be offensively or defensively.
Well, I think it's come back to, you know, what I said earlier, perspective. You know, people may forget or maybe they don't, but I'm sure Peyton Manning, you know, he'll go on record and say, I mean, I think he broke the rookie interception record as a, you know, his first season out. So, and he turned out to be, you know, arguably one of the best quarterbacks of all time. I think with Trevor, I think you see a guy that's improving week after week. He certainly had a ton of success in high school, like you said, up in Cartersville, and then obviously at Clemson. You know, if I was a betting person, I'd bet that he'd be a pretty good player. And he's continued to improve. He's got a live arm. He can extend plays. Terrific athlete. But just, you know, one thing about living here since I've been here, and I knew this from afar, but you realize how talented of a state Georgia is with the kind of players that come out of this state. Mm.
Yeah, I know that it's difficult because obviously the good news is you're drafted first, but the bad news is you're going to a team that was picking first. So, I mean, yeah. Is it just as you said, looking from afar, that they're just kind of are they adding more to the playbook each week from what you can see on tape?
Yeah, it seems like there's a natural evolution going on, and like you just said it, and everybody's so quick to judge whether it's mm-hmm. Kyle, Trevor, you know, you look at Mac Jones, every situation's different. Like you said, there's a reason when you draft at the top of the draft. And, you know, nothing's going to be fixed overnight. You know, rarely do you get to be drafted in a situation where a team spends $163 million and puts players around you and ask you, you know that's perspective, right? If you've got a really good defense, you're not going to ask a rookie quarterback. You saw it early in Tom Brady's career in New England. You saw it with Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh, and then those guys took off. And it takes sometimes years. So I think that's what you got to look at with a guy like Trevor. And you guys had great insight right there. So everybody's quick to judge and wants to say, oh, this guy, you know, he's already this, that. That's nonsense. The thing will play out over the next couple of years.
Coach Art, what's up with the O-line? I know you're playing the best guys, and you said you will play the best guys available. But it seems like for every step we take forward, it looks like we take two steps back with this O-line. And I'm talking about the group. I'm not picking on any one particular player.
Sure.
What's your opinion on the O-line where we are right now?
Well, like I said, I mean, we played well in spots and went through a six-game stretch. We were 4-2. You know, we cut our sack numbers down. I think when you get in the game and you fall behind too many possessions and you get one-dimensional, it's going to make life tough on everybody. We've got to do a better job in the run game. You know, we'll keep progressing on it, keep chipping away at it, find the right mix, and it's going to take everybody. But when you become one-dimensional in this league and you're going against good pass-rushing teams, that's what we want to stay out of. And so – So it's a combination of everything. You know, it's easy when you're sitting back there and you give up a sack. You know, somebody's watching may not realize that we're not at the right depth or spacing the passing game. Or, you know, sometimes it's obvious maybe you get beat. But if we can become more balanced and stay ahead and not fall behind the second and 15, we'll get better play from up front.
And that was the thing. I know in the Patriots game, it just seemed like the down and distance. It was just you were behind. You know, you're on the wrong side of that almost the entire game. One thing, I just want to make sure we get it right, because on the air we always want to make sure we're as accurate as we can be and not guess at it. When Matt throws the pick, when it's aimed towards Kyle, was he being steered away by the defense, or has Kyle got to do a better job with his route on that play?
Well, how do I answer this without
getting caught? Okay.
You know, a lot of times when you think you see a guy getting restricted,
right?
So he threw it at him is pretty much what happened. So no different than Mac Jones throwing it at Hunter Henry. You get the call, you know, again, we can, I guess you argue it's subjective, and right. This is where I got to be careful.
I understand.
But that's what he was doing. Okay. That's what he was doing.
That's why I said steered. I didn't want to say interfered.
Coach.
No, but I mean, you got to see it. I mean, that's what I said. I mean, that's what I love about it. I mean, you guys watch it. I mean, it is what it is. The official's got a hard job and that, but, you know, he thought he saw something, got to make a play, hoping to get a call. So, obviously, it ended up worst-case scenario.
Art, I'm not trying to get you fined here, but the legal formation on the field goal, was that BS?
You know, we could do a better job and not not putting even give him a chance to make that call. That's okay. Probably the best way to describe it. It hadn't been called since 2017, but it's, you know, right on their sideline, right there. So, you know, we don't need to give them a reason to call it.
Okay.
You know, to put them in that gray area subjectively.
Right. Yeah, when that happened, I think a lot of people were like,
the body language, the rest conferring, it looks strange.
It was weird. It was just weird. So just kind of get, you know, an understanding, a better understanding there. It's Arthur Smith, guys, here on Dukes and Bell, our weekly visit with Coach as we get ready for Jacksonville. All right, so, Coach, as we wrap up, what do we have to do Sunday to get back on track? What is the thing that you've been stressing this week?
Well, I think it starts with we need to play smarter as a team. I mean, as I said, when we've had decent stretches, we played pretty sound fundamentally. You know, having a guy here or there trying to press and make a play, I think that's what happens when one guy's sitting there thinking, oh, I got to do it. That's not what we're asking anybody to do. We can play a lot cleaner. We can certainly execute better. It's all of us, coaching, playing. We'll get back on track, and that's the first thing. Is let's not beat ourselves first. Let's go out there and execute. When we've done that, it's been pretty decent, and that's what we got to get back to, and our guys will. They'll respond. We got the right guys here.
Right. All right, on the lighter side, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? Are you a traditional guy? Are you a fried turkey guy? What's your sides? What's going to be all about?
Yeah, no, I've got to ask a lot of food questions today, and I don't know if it's because of my size, but I certainly I embrace it. No, I love Thanksgiving. You know, like I said, whatever they put on my plate, I'll eat. I don't discriminate.
Yeah. Well, hey, have a happy Thanksgiving. Let's try to go get one on Sunday, Coach. Appreciate the time as always, Coach.
I appreciate you guys' time. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Thanks, Art.
Arthur Smith. And listen, he knows the challenges, and obviously he's trying to work through a lot of that stuff. Yeah, Mike, the call with the field goal was just weird. And he said we can't put ourselves in that position to have them call those penalties.
Right.
But that, if you go back to that game, and I know we don't want to remember it, but there were little things like that that just held us back from getting any momentum,
right.
Mike.
And again, as we said, don't want to get him fined, but basically the refs missed contact and Pitts was interfered with. We also had the bad stop. When you're down and you can't get anything going and you're looking for help, that just, you know, kills you because we were just getting crushed on those third downs. And then the field goal, we all know it was a bit of political correctness run amok. It was happened to be a female official, and she just blew the call, and nobody wanted it. And the refs, you go back and watch the game on the DVR. Guys are literally rolling their eyes, and they're putting their hands up. They don't want to make a call to upstage a fellow official. Hey, man, it is our Falcon Report brought to you by our buddies at Domino's. Don't forget, guys, this weekend, once you're done with the turkey, just kick back, let Domino's do the cooking for all the sports the rest of the weekend. Chance at Freeze, man, a 1 in 14 chance of scoring free desserts and pizza with Domino's.com.
All right, we're going behind enemy lines next. We'll find out what is going on with Jacksonville, Urban Meyer, and more. It's Dukes and Bell. To our head coach, Arthur Smith, moments ago, and he gave us the latest on our Falcons, talking about the health concerns. Cordell Patterson did practice today. Let's go behind enemy lines and talk with J.P. Shadrick. He is a guy that covers this team we're going to see on Sunday, Jacksonville. And, J.P., it's good to have you on the show. Let's talk about Trevor Lawrence, because we were asking our own coach about Trevor and his progressions and how he's coming along. What is the take on Trevor and where he's at with his development right now in Jacksonville?
Well, first off, good to be with you. Thank you for having me on again. Good to talk to you. And, you know, Trevor, it feels like there's not a lot of help around him right now. This offense was actually trending up, you know, coming out of the London game the Jaguars played against the Miami Dolphins, got a win there. That might have been his best game statistically. And then they went into the bye week and came out of the bye and just didn't play well in Seattle. The running back got hurt, James Robinson, in that game. He hasn't been the same since. They really haven't had the punch in the running game that they had in the month prior to that. So, you know, they would really kind of turn around and hand it off to James a good bit. They haven't had that. The receivers are having some issues getting separation and getting open downfield. Offensive line, for the most part, has played okay. They've kept him upright as much as they can. But, you know, when nobody's open downfield, it's tough to make those throws downfield. So that's the problem right now with the offense and for Trevor Lawrence. You know, they've had some injuries creep up late last week as well. And now they're bringing guys in off the street or off practice squads of other teams to contribute. I mean, I would expect Jadon Mickens, who was signed off the practice squad, to probably contribute this week at wide receiver. That's how bad it's been lately. I mean, they're scraping towards the bottom of the barrel on the roster right now and on the practice squad.
Yeah, you know, about scraping, JP, when I had to go to the bathroom during the fantasy draft, auto selection took Laviska Shenault. And, you know, I'm like, I got what? I got zero touchdowns from him. So I jettisoned Shenault pretty quickly. But, yeah, you're kind of touching on it. So how do they score? Are they using the running backs out of the backfield, tight ends? Who is the man for Trevor?
Well, the man has been Dan Arnold, the tight end. Yes, that Dan Arnold, the guy they traded C.J. Henderson for, the first-round cornerback got traded to Carolina. Dan Arnold came back. Since his arrival, he's been the leading receiver, leading target, leading yardage receiver for the Jaguars, right? Last week, he didn't get one target at all, zero in the game, in the loss to San Francisco. And Urban Meyer said this week they, you know, bracketed some coverage over him. But think about that, right? He's a tight end. It's not like he's, you know, outside receiver. They're not lining up like Kyle Pitts. Like, you know, he's an inline, run down the field, turn around 10 yards and make the catch guy, right? And they think he could be extend that, but, you know, they've been covering it up. They couldn't even force a target to him last week. That's how bad it was. And then Jamal Agnew, the guy who they feel like was their speed guy outside, started the year as a kick returner. They brought him in, you know, as a free agent, as the kick returner and punt returner. That was a specialty. And, you know, they put him at wide receiver, you know, in the Cincinnati game. This was about week 4 or 5. And, okay, he's played okay, and he can run, and he can do some things. But 2 years ago, he's a cornerback. He's a converted corner. So those were your top two receivers on this team. Agnew's hurt now. He's on injured reserve. Dan Arnold, we'll see if he can get open, because are these other options going to be there? Laviska Shenault, they've moved him around some. Mm-hmm. They, you know, he hasn't really worked well outside. He was better in the slot where he's more of a mismatch. Do they add something else? Do they add a wrinkle like, you know, pre-snap jet sweep stuff or, right, you know, right, a wildcat here or there? I mean, they just haven't had a lot of that, and creativity is the buzzword this week. Urban, you know, brought it up Monday and Tuesday when he spoke. Hey, you know, we got to get – it's a full audit on offense right now. I would expect some different wrinkles this week.
Okay. J.P. Shadrick, guys, covers the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's the Falcons-Jags on Sunday. Falcons on the road in the 1 o'clock window. What about running the ball? You know, we always talk about taking pressure off of quarterbacks. I mean, Robinson's been okay, right? Has he been impressive?
Well, yeah, when he's healthy. I mean, that's the problem the last month. He had a heel injury in Seattle right out of the bye week about 4 weeks ago and didn't finish that game. They rested him a week and then came back, and he's still not 100%. He's the first to say that, and he's trying to battle through and play it, and he just doesn't have that same, you know, punch that he had. And he's never going to be a home run hitter. He's not going to score from 80. Like, that's just not his game. But he's a 5.5-yard carry back, and that's fantastic. He's always moving forward. He can move the sticks. He's reliable. He's always going to do his best to be out there. But he's just not the same guy right now. Carlos Hyde is in there as well. Urban Meyer has a long track record with him, of course, back at Ohio State. That's why he's here again. It's a second go-around in Jacksonville in his career. Right. But, you know, he's 4 yards a carry. He's okay. He's been playing fine. But James Robinson's the lead back. The other guys, you know, you can't really count on them a whole lot. But if Robinson's dinged up and they don't have that same feel in the running game, that's why they've struggled to score points, honestly, and move the football. They've only, just like the Falcons, right, they've only scored 43 points in the last 4 weeks, exactly, yeah, the same number. You know, it's just been a struggle.
We'll talk about your defensive line in just a sec. But, yeah, J.P. Shadrick with us, guys, who's been covering the Jags for many years. I mean, I just, from outside here, from looking down at it, it seemed like, man, Travis Etienne reunited. I mean, it seemed like a really good combination, you know, and we get young quarterback. I mean, was that just a body blow to lose him before the season even started?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you hear Urban talk about it, I mean, they had so many ideas, like we were talking about, jet sweeps and move him in motion and, you know, run him out of the backfield normally and then line him up in the slot. Like, you know, that was the idea with ETN, I think, in the offense. And then he had the Lisfranc injury, I think, week 3 of the preseason. So he didn't even make it to the regular season this year. That one hurt. And then earlier in the season, DJ Chark, the wide receiver, broke his leg. And on a run play, blocking of all things. So he's done for the year in a contract year. So those are two of contributors that you lost early in the season. They felt that we're really going to at least give some idea of some dynamic weapons on offense. and they aren't available. So the ETN thing, yeah, you know, you can argue maybe they shouldn't have drafted a running back in the first round when they had James Robinson, but it was more than just a running back plan for him. There were a lot of different things in mind for ETN.
There's a lot of names on that defensive line. Mike was talking about a lot of names defensively. We recognize no one seems to be playing that well. But I want to ask you before we let you go, is Urban getting it? You know, he caught the heat earlier this year. That was a big story about, you know, the whole lap dance thing. Is he getting it, JP?
Well, let's start quickly with the D-line. And Josh Allen is playing very well this year. He's got a career high in tackles. He had a career high 10 tackles last week. He's got stats all over the board. He has an interception this year. He's got tackles for loss. You know, his sack numbers will get there at some point if they can get in situations to pass rush. So I'll give you Josh Allen on the defensive line or outside linebacker. I think the last week, just hearing Urban talk about it, and he knows now, okay, they've got to really kind of churn this thing and figure out a way to get the offense going. That's it's imperative to get some kind of movement, whether that's changes in personnel or, you know, going into the full audit mode like we talked about. That it's week 12. I mean, I get that. It's not ideal. But, you know, earlier in the season, it's like, okay, hey, we're going to get it. It's early. You know, give it a few weeks. Let's continue to build and this and that. Well, the clock's ticking now. I mean, they've got to figure out a way to score points or they could not have a positive result and maybe the rest of the year, the way it's gone right now. So the tone the last week has been better. I think he understands that, okay, this is a bigger build than maybe he realized when he got in here. I know it's crazy to say it's a 1-15 team, but and it can't all be done in one recruiting class, for lack of a better term, right? It takes years of building. It takes drafting the right way, building a core of your organization, getting the proper free agents around it. And, you know, they can't just go pick off a five-star freshman and bring him in the game. I mean, that's you lose guys. You got to figure out somebody off the street to come play. So I think it's taken a few weeks, a couple months' time to, okay, realize what this is really all about. And we'll see. It's a long-term build, though, I'll say that.
Great stuff, JP. We appreciate you, man. Going behind enemy lines. We'll see what happens on Sunday. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Same to you, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Cool. JP Shadrick, guys. We're going to talk college football coming up. College football playoff rankings came out last night, and there was a surprise. It's coming up.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Out of the air, picked off. The Tigers mob hits another big man interception by Bama. We're going to get it done.
For Dukes and Bell to talk all things college football. This is the road to the college football playoff with Dukes and Bell.
Speaking of college football, Saturday, we've got you covered. Ohio State taking on Michigan. Pregame at 11:30, kicks at 12. That is a big game. Obviously, rivalry weekend. And tomorrow, guys, all the NFL action. We are your home for the NFL. Bears, Lions, Raiders, Cowboys, Bills, Saints. We got all three games right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So make sure you tune in. And tonight, guys, it's Hawks Spurs with the pregame at 8. Mike, let's talk about what the College Football Playoff Committee did last night. And Cincinnati was the big winner, I think. The surprise, because it's the first time we've seen a non-Power 5 get into the top four. Will they stay there? That is the question. They've got two games left. The committee does think highly of Houston, which is a ranked team, and they've got to play them. But they've also got to win the AAC, not the ACC title game.
The American Conference thing.
Yeah, and figuring they do that, Mike, I think they're going to be there. Notre Dame, listen, Michigan sits in front of them. Cincinnati beat Notre Dame. They've got to get some help. But Cincinnati is the surprise team last night as far as the top four is concerned.
Well, I mean, as you and I said, it's just they do deserve to be there. You know, they beat Notre Dame. Their schedule, as we know, it's not the same as the other teams. But I think, you know, they passed the eye test in our world because of how they looked against Georgia in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl last year, don't they? And that, I know past performance is no way indicative of what they should be according to the College Football Playoff Committee. But to me, that carries some weight. And the fact that, you know, Alabama, if they lose to Georgia in the SEC Championship game, they're out, Carl. They are out.
I think so too, man.
And the TV people might not like it. And I don't know if Luke Fickell's wife is going to like it because more teams are going to come at her husband to go move. But these guys are there. And I know that Michigan, Ohio State, you and I talked about it the other day. Ohio State wins out, Michigan wins out. Michigan's already beaten Wisconsin. Ohio State will beat Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship the way they look now. So one from the Big Ten, you know, and then as you said, you really can't. The Pac-12 didn't handle their water. Big 12, I know you're still holding out hope for what, Oklahoma State?
Potentially,
ACC didn't handle their business either.
Yeah. Right now, if you were to ask me the top three teams or the best three teams in the country, it's Georgia, Ohio State, and Alabama. But that doesn't mean those three, you know, are all going to get in. And that's the thing. I mean, Georgia obviously is sitting there. They've got their own fate in their own hands. That's the beauty of where Georgia is. And so Alabama, here's the thing about Alabama, Mike. It's Dukes and Bell. We're talking our college football conversation, guys, road to the college football playoffs. And for Alabama, you got to not only beat Georgia in the SEC championship game, which is not going to be easy, but then you also need some other things to kind of play out. And you say, well, if they beat Georgia, then they're automatically in. Well, if you win your conference championship, and we've had this debate, Mike, does that automatically put you in? Even with the one loss, and let's say there is a Cincinnati team that wins their conference and undefeated, and now you've got, let's say, 2 1-loss teams in Ohio State and Alabama, and there sits an undefeated Cincinnati. Okay, so now you're taking the best one-loss team. This gets us back to who's that? Who is it going to be? Right. Who's going to get left out?
Well, I mean, if Georgia loses to Alabama, they'd be the 4 seed, right? Or would they be the 3 seed?
Probably 3, yeah.
All right, so that, I mean, then it's still status quo, and Cincinnati's there, and Ohio. I'm just going to assume Ohio State runs the table, and Oklahoma State's not going to get there. The one thing you could argue, I think what's more interesting to me is if Alabama loses to Georgia in the SEC championship game, we talked about it with K. Connor Riley. We've seen how teams have been able to get success against Alabama defense that we've not seen the last 3 or 4 years against Nick Saban's team. So let's just cross our fingers. Pickens, by the way, may play against Tech, but you beat Alabama, and then, well, okay, then it would be Georgia, Ohio State, Cincinnati. I mean, are you going to throw Notre Dame in that mix? Because Notre Dame brings eyeballs, and they get to finish their season against Stanford in that classic matchup. But, you know, Stanford's nothing special. Yeah, although Stanford did beat Oregon.
Yeah, but the problem for Notre Dame is, and I mean, we talk about this, playing on that last weekend where all the championship games are going on, that first weekend in December matters. Notre Dame finishes their season this week.
Right.
So they don't play when Georgia and Alabama are playing. They don't play on that December 4th weekend. So now you're sitting around, and even though your record's pretty damn good, you don't get the bump that you would with the college champion or with the conference championship game. So that is, I think, could hurt Notre Dame. But yeah, Mike, to your point though, do not count them out. They're not completely out of this picture of being potentially in the college football playoff. They're just not.
Oh, I meant to bring this up yesterday. Stuart Mandel put this out there on Twitter. He said, again, Stuart covers SI and covers college football, says things that make you do a double take. The highest ranked team Georgia has now beaten is Clemson at number 23. And Seth Emerson, who wrote yesterday, in defense of Georgia's schedule, 8 of Georgia's 11 opponents have winning records, and the combined record of the FBS opponents when not playing UGA is 61-39, plus Georgia's outscored opponents by an average of 33 points. But it is interesting when you go back and you look at Georgia, you know, the Clemson game, it was a huge – see, it's hard to go back and put yourself in that mindset before Labor Day weekend of how big that game was. Now, we didn't know that Clemson was going to be offensively deficient, right, that year. But at the time, it was a huge game. Arkansas was number 8. Auburn was 18. Auburn obviously has had a terrible losing streak under Harsin his first year. But when you saw Kentucky, to me, Kentucky, that's a good football team. That's a fundamentally sound football team, right? But Kentucky right now, unfortunately, you know, Carl, they're 8-3, but that's still presentable. I mean, to me, you get back in this sort of revisionist thing of, now they're not ranked, but how big a game was it when they played? Or does that not hold water for you, that argument?
No, I mean, look, Notre Dame, for example, right? They're 10-1. Their loss came to Cincinnati. Michigan, Ohio State, loss came to Oregon. They're done. Michigan lost to Michigan State. Ohio State killed Michigan State. Alabama lost to Texas A&M. This is what I'm talking about. What loss was worse? Alabama lost on the road, and they were down almost 2 touchdowns, came back and lost on a last-second field goal. That was not a beatdown. And, you know, you talk about Michigan losing to Michigan State. That was to me, an ugly one. But then Ohio State destroys Michigan State. Right. What was the worst one loss? And that, when you start debating that, and then you're looking at the other team's schedules, that's where it gets flawed, Mike. That's where it comes in, and you go, well, I mean, Notre Dame's lost Cincinnati. Wasn't that bad? Because Cincinnati's been a top-5 team all year.
But, you know, and Texas A&M, by the way, will finish their season with LSU. Texas A&M has got, you know, a couple of losses on their record. I mean, they lost to Arkansas. They lost to Miss State. And then after they beat Alabama, they lose to Ole Miss. So it's just, you know, to me, I don't know how the committee is going to go. I know what this thing is supposed to be. I'll say it again for folks who don't realize it. It's a TV show. This committee is put together to get the best TV ratings. So who generates the most eyeballs right now? I mean, with all due respect to, you know, Mike Gundy in Oklahoma State, who wants to see those guys in a Final Four?
They're a good team, though.
Good team. And look, and
no, it's a team.
You and I know, but I'm talking about the dreaded casual viewer who tunes in for this. They're playing great defense by Oklahoma State standards.
I know, but that's the thing about Cincinnati, and that's why I want expansion. Because of what you just said, who wants to see them? Well, I think in the Midwest, Cincinnati's a pretty big deal. Now, I know that doesn't mean, you know, the 25 million folks in New York, but they're not paying attention anyway. I think, Mike, give me the best teams and let's figure it out on the field. That's where I'm at. I agree with you. I don't think that they draw like Alabama or Notre Dame. No. But if you're going to tell me that Oklahoma State shouldn't be in it because, well, who wants to see them? Well, damn, isn't that why we had the playoff?
Right. But then again, you could also argue this is a year where other teams outside that top five don't really pass the eye test, and or top four. And if you want to take it out to an Oklahoma State, can Oklahoma State put a couple of wins together against other elite Power Five conferences in a playoff format? I don't know about that.
It's crazy.
I know that this is still not, it's not a perfect system. No. The good news is Georgia's in a great spot. And Georgia Tech, real quick, we spoke about it earlier. Jeff Schultz wrote that article about where Georgia Tech is. But, I mean, you know, what happens if Georgia really throttles these guys? I mean, the one thing going for Georgia Tech is Kirby might call off the dogs, pardon the pun, to save these guys for Alabama.
No, I think he will. Mike, if you're up 30-0.
Survive and advance and stay healthy. Don't get anybody hurt or suspended, right?
You're not looking to score 80. I mean, that's honestly not in this game.
If
so
there's a targeting call in this game, I'm never watching college football.
don't think that there might not be. Hey, man, coming up top three at 6, Hawks in action tonight. They need to go on the road and handle business. West Durham's on the way as well. 620. Lots more in store. It's Dukes and Bell. Happy Thanksgiving.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.